This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As much as anything on this program, and I would like to hear from you guys. So we get you on the air. We get you past Gabe. We get you on the air. And we start talking. And if within about 30 seconds you're making some sweet music, then we'll keep the song going. We'll keep the dance going. Maybe we'll play another tune. If you stink, you're going to be gone pretty quick. But you won't even feel it. You won't even know that I'm dirting you. Because, well, you do this long enough, you figure out how to let people know they're not up to snuff without making them feel bad. The 925 says Seth Curry does not play defense well enough. Look, you're going to have to fill your roster with guys who have warts. That's a simple fact. That's as factual as anything I can say to you today. The guys that you sign that weren't on the roster this year, there's gonna be black marks on their record. There's going to be yeah, buts. There's going to be, that's just the nature of the beast. Look, there's a high likelihood, I say high because I think Kevin's back, that you're going to have two guys under max contracts next year that might not play at all next year. Which means you're going to have to MacGyver your roster together. You got some toothpicks. You have, you got an ice cream lid. You've got one of those plastic helmets that they serve sundaes in at the ballpark. You've got cellophane, rubber bands, and coat hangers. Poof, you're an NBA roster. That's what they're going to have to do. And so whoever you get is going to have warts. Seth Curry's got warts. I don't think he's a terrible defensive player, just like I don't think his brother is. His brother takes way too many chances with reaches, and I would love for referees to maybe let a few of those slide just to make sure that, you know, one of the transcendent players in the game stays in the game. But that's a slippery slope. 408 sends, this article explains why Seth doesn't want to play with Steph. Well, I can't read an article right here on the air, but I will check it on the next break. Again, you want to be a micro host? You want to take your shot at the limelight? You want to be the next butcher boy, the next guru? 888-957-9570. Don't kid yourself. There's never going to be another butcher boy. Never going to be another guru. What's Jamal Crawford's contract? The Chilton Autobody line wants to know. Don't know that, but Jamal Crawford was one of the guys that I wanted the Warriors to get last season. Really wanted him to get Trevor Ariza, but Ariza got paid. I can't believe he got paid as much as he did. Austin Rivers is now, before the Warriors took on Mr. Rivers in the postseason, I said, hey, man, don't forget about this guy. He's pretty good. He's going to have an impact. He sat the first game of that series, and there was a bunch of people hearing me, don't sleep on Austin Rivers, and I got laughed at by all sorts of you guys. Austin Rivers ain't bad, man. He had a decent little series against the Warriors as well, as did Seth. But I'm not a huge Austin Rivers fan at all. I am way rather have Steph. Now, obviously, Steph is a better shooter than Austin. Austin could D up. That's what I like about Rivers' game. That's what I was talking about when I said don't sleep on him. He can have an impact on a series like this because the Rockets needed what? Defense. Rivers' strength is what? Defense. That's why that worked. 707, Austin Rivers plays better defense than Seth, can hit the outside jumper, and is not afraid to be clutch late in the fourth. If you're leaning on Austin Rivers to be clutch late in the fourth, then you need to be on a new team. You need to get more players. He should not be your clutch guy. I'm not needing Seth Curry to be the clutch guy either. Leave the clutch moments for Steph, and when they're healthy, Clay and Kevin and Kevon. Man, I keep coming back to that name. Is he going to be back? The Warriors can have him back if they want him because he's a restricted free agent. So they can match any offer. But what if now, do they have a number in mind, do you think? Like, okay, if somebody offers Looney this much, then we're going to have to bow out. That number's got to exist. I just don't think the rest of the league is as impressed with Looney as all of us, as we are. I'm super impressed with the guy. I mean, he's done nothing but get better all the time, show incredible discipline, not just on the court. And, I mean, the guy does not go for ball fakes very often at all. He can switch out and guard guys on the perimeter. He's got good, you know, lateral movement. He's just a good player all the way around. But he keeps getting a little bit better, and offensively, I don't think we've seen him scratch the surface yet. When he was at UCLA, he had a decent little perimeter range game. About to compare him to Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard, by the way, I hope if you had forgotten how good Kawhi was or didn't understand how good Kawhi is, that you watched these finals, and even if you're a Warriors fan, you were able to separate yourself and appreciate the greatness that Kawhi brought. Look, he's a strange dude too. I don't need you to be normal or fall in line with what society thinks and wants pro athletes to be. If you're on my team, just ball out. I'm that guy. I didn't used to be that guy. I used to really want a bunch of high character guys. I mean, everybody wants high character guys. But is that number one for me? No. Certainly not as a fan. I want to be entertained. And I'd like my team to win while I'm being entertained. You give me either or both of those, entertainment and victories, I'm good. I don't need a choir boy. I don't need a Boy Scout. I don't need somebody to make me feel good. I don't need to see somebody, oh, he's the first one out of the dugout to give high fives when the guys come off. He's the first one off the bench. He goes and picks up his teammates after they take a charge. Okay, great. Cool. Can you put the ball in the hole? One of my favorite lines of all time from the late, great Bill King. Bill King was in the midst of calling a miserable season for the Oakland A's. I mean, miserable. They were terrible. As you know, Bill, doing radio for the Oakland A's. He's done radio for the Warriors as well. He's actually gotten teed up in Warriors games. And the A's were terrible, but they're the kind of guys that you want to have over to your house and meet your parents. And, hey, that left fielder, I would let my sister date him. He's a real good guy. Bill was hearing a little bit too much of that for his tastes. And we're like 3-4 innings into it. And finally, this is an explosion for Bill King. I don't need a bunch of nice guys. Give me a bunch of a-holes who can play this game. He said the actual word a-holes, said it on the air. I'm like, I love Bill King for life. The segment can't get any better than that. So we're just going to bow out now. 888-957-9570. Okay, I told you I was going to add a big. Added him. JaVale McGee. I told you I want to add a shooter. Added him. Seth Curry. Now what do we need? We need a wing, preferably a 3-and-D. Got one, 95-7 a game.
Now back to 95-7 the game.
Oh, if you're not pumped right now, then you never had a big-ass mullet back in the 80s. Because if you did, you also enjoyed you some rat. That's who we got now. Two T's, by the way. Not one, two T's. In last week's Good for Ball, Bad for Ball, which, by the way, will be coming in a little more than an hour. Appreciate you being a part of it. By the way, I'm Mike Lurbin. I'll be here until 4 o'clock. Thank you for joining. Happy Father's Day. Last week on Good for Ball, Bad for Ball, one of the topics posed to me by young Joe Sherry was apparently was it Fisherman's Wharf or Pier 39, where they're having it's like a pop-up store, a rat thing in the dungeon, right? There's the dungeon, at Fisherman's Wharf, and they're having a, I don't know what it's called, but it Rat Cafe. Yeah. And the appeal apparently is they have like a slogan that says something to the effect of it's where rats run free and booze flows like water. Okay, well, if you're into that sort of thing, the second half of that equation sounds great. But in what world does anybody like hearing, hey, it's where rats run wild. Come on. Come on down underground where it's dark and wet and rats run wild. That sounds like a great time. What'd you say, Gabe? That mean we got our next guest on home? Gotcha. Got to get to this one call real quick. Got to reward patience. Appreciate you calling Matt in San Francisco. Keep in mind, I have a distinguished guest lined up right behind you. Do your thing, Matt. What's up? Hello, Matt in San Francisco. Hi, Matt in San Francisco. He gone. Give us a call back, Matt. It'll work out better that way because we will be done talking with our guest and you'll get a little bit more time. Honored to have Paul Jones join us. He is a radio man. He does Toronto Raptors. He is now, indirectly at least, a world champion. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul_Jones. Paul, happy Father's Day to you. Thank you so much for your time. How are you doing?
Good, and same to you. It's kind of surreal that you say that because I always told the fan base in Toronto, if you were really good, you were playing on Mother's Day. If you were really good, you were probably still playing on Father's Day. And here we are. Today would have been Game 7.
Yep.
But the Raptors took care of that the other night. But here we are, Father's Day, and I'm still talking about the Toronto Raptors. It's kind of surreal. No excuses, no disappointments, and, you know, they're champions. So it's kind of surreal up here in Toronto.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm happy for you, Paul. I'm a lifelong Bay Area resident, live and die with the Warriors. I was 7 years old when Rick Barry brought a title in 75, and from that point until when this recent run started, we went through some miserable basketball and a lot of heartache, and I know you guys, I don't want to say miserable basketball, but you certainly dealt with your share of heartaches, and I said this throughout the finals, Paul. I would have people call, and I'd do hits on other radio stations like you're doing now, and it would have been a heck of a lot more, I don't know, I couldn't, if I had a reason to dislike the Raptors, it would have made this, I don't know, somehow easier to handle, but it's just a weird feeling. It's like, I kind of like these guys that just beat my squad. It's an unfamiliar feeling.
Yeah, they're an easy group to cheer for, as are the Warriors. I guess maybe it was the Cleveland backlash, but every year, you know, I was cheering for the Warriors against Cleveland or whoever. I mean,
yeah.
From a personal standpoint, Curry family from when they were playing up here and watching Steph and Seth, you know, grow up here and shoot on the court and, you know, go upstairs and shoot during the game. And as they both would say, come down at halftime, shower during the third quarter, and then watch Vince in the fourth quarter. And so I you don't feel sorry for winning, but I hated to see Klay Thompson go down with the injury. I hated to see Kevin Durant go down with the injury. But, you know, you can only play who's in front of you. And I have seen my share of miserable basketball, having been with this team since day one. 16-66, 21-61, you know, a 22-60 7 years ago before Dwayne Casey got here. So,
did you say 16-66?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
66 in 1997, general manager Glenn Grunwald stood in front of the crowd at Maple Leaf Gardens, absorbing boos like the old vaudeville days when they threw tomatoes at people on the stage, and said, I promise you that this will not happen again. Well, there has never been another 16-66, but there was a 22-60.
Man.
There was a 23-43. There was a 34-48. It wasn't exactly a meteoric rise to the top.
Right. Yeah. No, but that's, in a way, look, this title run that the Warriors have been on, I find it to be more enjoyable because I know how bad they've been. Yeah. Are you experiencing something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we left Oracle the other night, and somebody said, what will you remember most about this building? I will say the dedication of the fans, one, and two, the dunk by Baron Davis on Andre Kirilenko, and the reaction of Steven Jackson dusting off his shoulders. And I get that was, you know, and I would say stuff to our fans, and they would get upset. Like, you know, you need to be more like the fans in the Bay Area. They are wild about their team. And when their team gets down 4 or 5 points, they don't boo. They cheer. They say, come on, let's get after this. And I, by golly, I tell you what, the Toronto fans have become like that. They are an absolute, in my mind, the absolute number one fan base in the NBA.
And you know what? I was disappointed by, and hear me out, because you might hear what I'm leading into, and I'm actually going somewhere different. I was disappointed when some fans cheered when KD went down. But here's where it's probably different than where people think I'm going. I wasn't disappointed in the Raptors fans. I was disappointed that the good Raptors fans, of which there is a majority, are going to take a hit because a few knuckleheads cheered this guy in a moment of, and I don't even think those that cheering was more like, hey, this helps our, gives our team a chance. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I want Kevin Durant to get hurt, but that's how some people are going to take it. Thank God some of the players, you know, toned them down and it didn't become a bigger deal. Because if I'm going to have a memory of the Raptors fans, and I know some Warriors fans here don't like that I say this, but after game four, when they stuck around singing "Oh Canada" and we chanting "We the North," it reminded me of the Warriors and their fan base, of which I'm a part, in 2014, 2015, when they were on the brink of something that none of us ever thought was going to happen. And when I saw Toronto fans doing that here at Oracle after game four, I thought, I've been there before. That feels really cool. It's nice to see other people feel it. If my Warriors, who are beat up and they've played about 12 years of basketball in the past 4 or 5 years, I'm not going to make the injury excuse. You, like you said, you play who's in front of you. Toronto is worthy champions, and I think their fan base is worthy too. I'm willing to give them a pass on that one ugly moment.
Well, I think, and to that moment, and I've addressed it this way, I think it's some of the newbies. I mean, like, there are some of us that were on the bandwagon when it was empty. Some of us were driving around looking for people to jump on the bandwagon, and there was nobody. And right now, the bandwagon's so damn full, you got to push it to get it going. And I think it was some of the newbies maybe cheering the Durant injury before the real fans waited till he was walking off the floor and cheered him in appreciation and you know, in a get-well sense. So, yeah, it's too bad that the good fans will take a hit for that, but you know, it's kind of like life. All it takes is an opening for one thing, and all the bad things decide they're going to flow in with them. So, but for the most part, the Raptor fan base is, they are terrific.
And the cliche you hear is, you know, a few bad apples can spoil the whole bunch, and cliches exist because they're rooted in truth. But I don't think that moment is going to, you know, diminish the fan base in any way. But I mean, I think everybody, look, anybody who's been a fan of a team for a very long time and that team has had very limited success and you finally win, it does feel a little bit different than a team. Like right now, I mean, last year when the Warriors won the title, it was great. I loved it, but I didn't like it as much as I liked the first title that they won. You can never quite replicate that. And to be talking with you, Paul, I mean, by extension, I can hear the joy and the relief in your tone of voice. And I think we'd all be better fans if we could just, instead of bashing other teams when they beat us, as long as it's done with class and respect. And when you saw, I mean, it was like the end of a hockey series almost, the respect that they showed each other after game six of the finals. I thought that was really cool too.
It really was. And there were, you know, there was a kind of a, like you said, with the Warrior players, like, yeah, we get it. We've been there, and we fought you guys as hard as we could, but you guys were better, you were healthier, you were hungrier. So take your title, enjoy it. And by the way, we're coming to try and get it back next year.
Yeah, do you think winning the title changes? Like, let's say that Kawhi didn't know, had not made any decision, and he was going to wait to see how the season played out. Winning the title, you would think that would push him heavily towards coming back, but Who knows? Kawhi's kind of a different dude. You could also say, well, I've done that. I won a title. I lifted this franchise up that had never done this before, and now I'm going to go somewhere where I really want to play, which is probably Los Angeles. What do you think is more likely, that this helped or hurt Toronto's chances of keeping him?
I mean, my own feeling is I think he's got his mind made up. He had his mind made up, and he's going to do what he wants. The other part of it is people say, well, you know, the title will help him decide. No, I think, I mean, you can look at it both ways. He might say, look, I'm here. We won. We've got a lot of good players. I see a chance to keep winning. I'm sticking around. And the other side of the coin is, hey, look, you brought me here. It wasn't on my list of places to come. We made it work. I got you your title. I'm out. So, you know, let's see what he decides. I don't think this has a bearing either way, one way or the other, on whether he's coming back or he's deciding. I think that die was cast a long time ago.
The voice you hear is that of Paul Jones. He does radio for the Toronto Raptors up north. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul_Jones. Paul, I know next to nothing about Kawhi other than he's an unbelievable basketball player, and we have a little clip of him, you know, the laugh that he did at the media day, and we have some fun with that. But other than that, I know virtually nothing about Kawhi Leonard. Do you, having spent a year in his orbit, do you feel like you know a little something about Kawhi the person? If so, share it with us, please.
What I know is the guy loves to, as we say in the schoolyard, the guy loves to hoop.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He loves to play ball, and he works at his craft. I mean, there was one night last week before game five. I was trying to get a hold of one of the Raptors staff people for something, and they said they were busy because they had to get the gym open because Kawhi was going to come in and shoot. And it was 20 after 10 in the evening.
Wow.
You know, most people are going to bed. And there was a sign that guy had. When I played college ball, my roommate was the two-time player of the year, and he had a sign in his locker. He said, somewhere, somebody else is still practicing.
Yep.
That kind of epitomizes Kawhi Leonard. He's very serious. I do see him smile occasionally, being close to the team. I do see him kind of having fun with teammates and laughing. But we're just not privy to it, you know, in the public eye all the time. So, look, the guy's a terrific player. He's going to make some team very happy next year, be it Toronto or anybody else.
Again, we're speaking with Paul Jones. He is with Sportsnet. Is it 580, The Fan?
I work on both networks, actually, Rick. I'm on 590, The Fan.
590, The Fan.
TSN. Yeah, both of them.
All right. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Paul_Jones. Paul, one of the reasons I like to have people from the other side of the battle line, so to speak, is when it comes to the Warriors, I went through, you know, the first 3 years of their championship run thinking that everybody felt about the Warriors the way I felt. Like, isn't Steph Curry lovable and humble and likable, and these are the underdog Warriors and they're sneaking up on everybody? But then I know that perception shifted a little bit, especially once KD came aboard, and then I'm aware enough to know that the country eventually, most of them, looked at the Warriors as the villains of the NBA in some way, which was really odd for me, because I just assumed they all loved them, like I said. Is the perspective on the Warriors any different up in Canada than it would be in the lower 50?
No, not really. It's just, you know, it's a team that's standing in the way of something that they want. And look, I'll say this, greatness is polarizing.
Yep.
You either, you know, love Tiger Woods or you hate him. You either love the Warriors or you hate them. You know, the dynasties of years past.
Yankees, yeah, all that.
Yeah, you know, in hockey here we have the Montreal Canadiens, like the Edmonton Oilers, you know, in football. You know, I hope the New England Patriots never win another game, but, you know, they're a terrific team. But,
right,
you know, greatness is polarizing, and I'm not surprised that people have that viewpoint and that view of the Warriors, but from a pure basketball standpoint, as somebody that's, you know, loved the game since he was 11 years old, and I remember that team that we talked about off the top with Rick Barry and, you know, my favorite player on that team was Phil Smith. And, you know, like all of those guys. And they came out of nowhere to win the title. And, you know, that's how it is. People, you're either on one side of the fence or the other when a team is that good. And I think Toronto fans, they don't hate Golden State. They're just the next person, next team in the way of, right, of the ultimate goal.
You just gave me a big smile and a great memory. Phil Smith went to University of San Francisco. I went to
USF.
Yeah. I went to USF. My dad played at USF right after Russell, and then he taught at USF, which meant he taught a lot of the basketball players, which meant I got to play Nerf basketball in my bedroom with guys like Phil Smith and Bill Cartwright.
Wow. I still remember I've got it somewhere in a box in the basement, the picture on the cover of the Sports Illustrated, the undefeated, the Dandy Dons.
Dandy Dons. I got that one, too.
Hanging off a cable car, and there's Cartwright and Wilford Boines and
James Hardy.
Like all of those guys, right? And I'm like, okay, I better, since Bill Russell played there, I better watch these guys and see if they're any good.
Yeah, you got me pumped up throwing those names out, especially when Winford Boines.
You're showing your age, like me.
Yeah, I am, and I'm proud of it, man. I'm still 12 years old mentally. I mean,
at heart, yeah, me and you both. It's only a number, man.
But I'm going to be able to cash in on those early bird specials at Denny's in just about 6 years. I'm kind of excited about it. Hey, Paul, I really appreciate your time, man. Oh, you know what? I got couple more questions for you relating to your guys' roster and who's coming back. Who do you know is coming back among, you know, the rotation guys next year?
Well, Pascal Siakam's on his rookie deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, his people are saying, oh, you're going to pay us. You're going to pay us. So Pascal will be back. Lowry's back. Ibaka is back. And then after that,
how about Freddie?
Powell's back. Van Vliet is back.
Okay.
So they've got a pretty good group coming back. Some of the big power brokers they've got to work on. Danny Green is a free agent. You know, we all know the Kawhi situation.
Yep.
And Marc Gasol has an opt out or an opt in for about 23 to 25 million. I don't know what the exact number.
Better opt in on that, big fella.
Yeah, you know what? Take that, wear the title for a year, and try to get another one, if you ask me.
No doubt. Hey, it sounds like you got a good part of your core coming back, and I would be a little bit surprised if Kawhi didn't come back. But if he doesn't, nobody's ever going to be able to take away the fact that you are a world champion, Paul. Thank you so much for your time, and again, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, same to you. My pleasure, man.
All right, take care. That is Paul Jones. He does radio for the Toronto Raptors. Look, if you can't appreciate what Toronto fans are feeling right now, then you just take sports way too seriously. Really. I mean, I remember how I felt after this first title of this run. I never thought that was going to happen ever in a million years. And since then, it's only gotten better. I mean, I'm not embarrassed, but the embarrassment of riches, I get where that comes from. I mean, my God, when I heard they got Boogie last summer, I'm like, oh my God, really? Do they even need him? They kind of did at the end there, but some people would argue they didn't need him in general to sign him for the season. But that's water under the bridge. If you appreciated that first title of this run because you had gone through so much bad basketball, and look, another part that doesn't get talked about, and it's just because they don't score, they don't assist, they don't do anything, they're behind the scenes. But guys like when they first won the title, Raymond Ritter, longtime media PR guy. I mean, he had been slogging away in the dregs of the NBA forever. And then he gets to the top of the mountain. That's pretty cool. I don't care who your team is. That it was my Warriors made it fantastic. But I'm able to appreciate any fan base that has gone through hell. And boys, 16 and 66. Yikes. Let's go back out to the phone lines. If you want to join us on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. If you want to hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line, that's 95795. I will do your text justice very soon. We've got a ton that I want to read, and I actually figured out a way to mark them so I don't lose my spot. Easier to do on the phone board. Mike is in San Pablo. Mike, you're on 95.7 a game. What you got, man?
Good afternoon. So the Warriors, unfortunately, what happened to them was just horrible bad luck, coinciding with some possible previous injuries. But I think they're very lucky in the sense that with these injuries, should KD re-sign, which who knows, it's let him do whatever he wants.
Let's talk it into existence, Mike. He's going to re-sign.
Yeah, no, I believe so. But next year, use it as a refresher. Play Steph 65 games, every home game, a few on the road. And I'm going to say, some people will disagree, I'm a firm believer that Draymond should be traded now.
Ooh.
Get a lot of assets in return. Play some young assets they get back. They can get some picks for him. Ask him what team he wants to go for, where he wants to go to. Do whatever he wants, but get rid of him because he's going to be eligible for a Supermax after next year. And while he's a Hall of Fame player, he's not worth a Supermax, especially on this team.
Do you think that he is going to get Supermax money elsewhere, though? I mean, you mentioned get a bunch of assets for Draymond. If you're willing to trade him, you don't think all that highly of him. So how do you get a huge haul for him?
Well, yeah, well, seeing as how I can play the at-home GM, I think Draymond is one of the best players in the league, one of the most underrated players who can play all five positions. He's probably a true point guard in a power forward body. I think there are a lot of teams who are close to getting towards conference title who could use a established veteran with wings who is still in the prime of his career. Who would give him a max? Teams like Detroit. I mean, imagine Draymond going back to Detroit. The homecoming for the kid with three rings, and now he is the stable veteran who doesn't have to be an offensive option. Going to a team like Philadelphia, wherever he goes, there's a lot of teams, and I would sign him if I was a team like Philadelphia.
Can you imagine him and Joel Embiid in the front court together? They'd be monsters.
They not only that, they'd have to mic them up for what they would talk
right.
Other teams. But again, he's a Hall of Fame player. It's amazing the talent he has. I think he is so underappreciated for what he does as a player. But I don't think on this team, how our contracts are lined up, I don't think he's worth a Supermax. I don't even think he's worth half of the Supermax, because eventually his body's going to start breaking down. I think I might be completely wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'll
say this. I'm sorry, Michael, for interrupting. I'll say this. I'm really excited the fact that the Warriors are going to be, they're going to be involved in every major free agent. They're going to be involved in every major young player who is eligible to be traded. I think we have the best front office in all of sports. And in Bob Myers, I trust. And damn, you know what? Let him win. Ideally, get him into the lottery next year.
Yeah, that's going to be a seriously steep fall. Real quick before I let you go, what was your first thought when you saw that Unibrow is going to join LeBron?
Great. I think it helps the Warriors. I'm not a big fan of LeBron as a teammate. I think he's a GM killer, a coach killer. I don't think he's a positive influence on players. I think he's a fantastic player, but I'm not sold on his leadership skills. They have no shooters. They have no passing. They have a couple of amazing stars who knows if they can play together. And they have no first-round picks for the next few years. And what's going to happen to their salary cap? I mean, it's crazy what has happened this offseason.
It's weird. Bottom line is, even if it works out to their heart's desire this year, let's say they get a title this year and or they're getting deep into the postseason this year and next year, there's a chance that they fall hard after that, because by then LeBron's going to be 38 years old. And as you pointed out, they're not going to have a first round draft pick for until the next century. I'm looking forward to them having another downfall. If anything else, this just lets us see them slide twice, and twice is better than once, certainly better than none.
Herb, I think we should have our own slot together on the weekends. I'm available. Let me know.
All right, Mike. We think alike on a lot of things, man. I appreciate you calling.
We do. I'm cheap, too. Have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day. And it's never afflicted me, but I'll say it every time I've called into you. I really appreciate how you end your show each day. it's an amazing, respectful thing you do.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate that, man. Have a great rest of your Sunday. That is Mike. Would you like to follow him up? We've got another cut. We have two more segments, believe it or not. An hour and 15, but it's in two segments. Fat, long segments. We are going to have RJ Anderson of CBS Sports. We're going to talk some baseball in the next hour. We're going to close the show with Good for Ball, Bad for Ball, and bringing in a very special guest to do that. What are we going to do up until that guest comes in? Well, a number of things we can do. First off, actually, I've already given you the wing guy. I forgot, but maybe the rest of you forgot too. So far, I've filled the center hole with JaVale McGee. Welcome back, JaVale. I filled the need for a shooter, maybe a combo-ish shooter. Seth Curry, welcome to the fold, unrestricted free agent. I've got a wing, too. A dynamic, electric, super athletic, and left-handed, I like him for that, wing who will be able to give you solid defense. And when KD and Klay come back, and they are coming back, and they are going to be Warriors, by the time they come back, this guy will be kind of tough to take off the floor still. I'm Michael Urban. 888-957-9570 is the phone line. 957-95 is the text line. The wing player that completes all your hopes and dreams next on 95.7 The Game.
Back to 95.7 The Game.
I'm scared of this music. I gotta be honest. We're going hard on hair bands today. Wes, what are we featuring? I don't know if I told the audience, Wes Mills, the veteran sage of the board ops, slid in without me noticing. Wes, what do you got, man? What are you playing? What are you featuring here?
Gabe Osler's got some Guns N' Roses playing on there on here, so that's what he's doing.
He's also got the guns out, as he often does when he comes to work. Tank top, sleeveless, whatever. There's hair under those arms. Wow. How's that work out for you, Wes? You got to share close quarters with this guy who's barely dressed. You okay with it? All right. By the way, if ever you have a story that ends with the expression sloppy seconds in the punchline, tell that story. That's a good story. I don't even need to know what led up to, well, here, the punchline was, go get my sloppy seconds. I'm not going to tell you the story, but just go ahead and give me the courtesy laugh right now, because it's funny. If it ends with, go get my sloppy seconds, it's a good story. Now, if you don't know what sloppy seconds are, good. You should be doing your homework right now, kids, anyway. Homework? Really? In June? Google Sean Avery sloppy seconds, I'm told. I'm going to get fired tomorrow for doing that. Okay. We've had a few questions. First one, what did you think when you heard that LeBron got the unibrow finally? That's been going on for a long time. And the Lakers gave up a lot. They gave up three young players that I think are pretty good. Only going to get better. They gave up, the number four pick in this year's draft. They also gave up two other first rounders. I mean, the Pelicans are going to be embracing and applauding this trade for a long time. The Pelicans might be really good in 5 or 6 years. Lakers might be really bad because of this trade. But here's what's going to happen. The Lakers may win the title this year. They're probably going to have a deep playoff run if everybody stays healthy. All right? You're going to have to swallow that bitter pill if you're a Warriors fan, because chances are your Warriors are going to be battling for a 6, 7, or 8 seed. I absolutely think the Warriors are going to make the playoffs. I do think they're going to re-sign Klay and KD. I think one of those two, if not both, will be ready by next year's playoffs. And all bets are off. But let's say, I mean, that's obviously the best possible scenario. let's say the Lakers are really good for the next couple of years. Okay, that's all they're going to be good for, because as soon as they start to come down, look, there's going to be 1 year, hopefully, where full-strength Warriors as we know them are going to be able to tackle, be able to battle LeBron and Unibrow and whatever they put around him. But if it's going to be a Bulls-type situation where, okay, we won three in a row and then Michael went and played minor league baseball and the Rockets got theirs, Dream Shake finally got his, and then Michael came back and they had three more. I could see that happening. I could see, okay, you won three titles at Oracle. Sweet. And then you moved across the bay into the Chase Center. You took it on the chin for a year because you signed Clay and KD to max deals and they weren't even ready for training camp. Let's go ahead and say they didn't even play next year. Okay, that's fine. But when you sign them to Supermax, we're talking 5 years. That means there's four more years for both of them, and that's where three more titles comes from. Now, that's obviously also a best-case scenario, but that's a scenario I'm painting for you, and would you like to know, do you remember who the wing was? It came up while you guys were trying to pick my shooter, which was Seth Curry. My wing is Rodney Hood. For whatever reason, Rodney Hood has not quite caught on in the NBA, so to speak. Now, obviously, he's caught on in terms of just having a job, but I don't think it seems like teams that have had him don't really know what they have. Or, I mean, who knows? I'm not at practices. Maybe he's not the easiest guy to coach. Maybe he slipped into some coaches' doghouses. But if you're just going to look at the player and what he's capable of doing, and then look at the coach you're going to be giving him in Steve Kerr and his staff, that staff, for me, seems pretty well equipped to handle any type of player you give him. Has there been a guy who has yet come to the Warriors and made you think halfway through the year, that dude cannot be back next year? Now, some people might say Swaggy P was that last year. I wasn't ready to give up on him halfway through the year. He hit some big shots in the playoffs, whether you want to admit it or not. He helped him win a championship. You might laugh at that, but he has a ring. If you have a ring, you helped a team win a championship. So the question, the first question was your first reaction to LeBron and Unibrow being together. Second one was, I want your favorite Oracle memory, not of all time, but of this year, because there weren't a lot of great ones. And I feel like I'm forgetting some. And part of this is self-indulgent, because I want to hear what you guys have to say. I want to remember some moments that I may have forgotten. One that jumps to mind for me, I think it was the first game I went to where I was standing room only the whole time. I walked the entire time. I just wanted to feel Oracle. It was the game. It was back when the Warriors were just absolutely obliterating everybody in the third quarter. They didn't do as much of it this year as they did last year, but they did do it. And I think it was the Sixers that they were playing. And it was just an absolute avalanche of offense for the Warriors in the third quarter. And it was something to watch. I mean, it was just a late fall, early winter, regular season meeting on a Wednesday or a Thursday or whatever. Like nothing that you would really, really be looking forward to. And when I walked out of that arena, I'm like, that's why I need to make sure I take advantage of this credential every chance I get. Because you never know when someone's going to go absolutely bananas, especially when you got like five guys on your roster capable of doing it. Let's go out to Ram in South San Francisco. Ram, you're on 95.7 a game. What's going on?
Michael, happy Father's Day to you. Thank you so much for taking my call. As you speculated, I mean, I can't see KD leaving, because he would be walking away from, what, $60 million or $80 million or whatever the differential is between a five-year and a four-year contract to go to a team like the Knicks, even if he was healthy, which is obviously much inferior to the Warriors. So I don't know where a lot of people are getting the idea that he could leave. I don't know any players left $80 million on the table. I suppose I don't think it's ever happened, and been following the NBA for about 40 years. So Kawhi Leonard leaving Toronto also would be leaving money on the table. So
Yep.
I don't know if that's – we'll see what happens there. But like you mentioned, KD signs, Clay signs, but they're out for the year. The Warriors get the disabled player exception for both of them, which is the mid-level exception because their salaries are so high. So they'll have the mid-level and two player disabled player exceptions to go sign an unrestricted free agent. Obviously, that unrestricted free agent they sign probably will be someone who didn't get a multi-year contract. Because why would you sign a one-year contract when you can get three? I looked over the unrestricted free agent list. Luol Deng is the guy I would go after. He knows Ron Adams from the Chicago Bulldogs. I don't think he's going to get a multi-year contract from anybody, and he would fit perfectly with the Warriors. As far as the other two exceptions, again, you know, you got to pick and choose. I don't know if J.J. Redick is going to be offered a multi-year. If he's not, maybe that's someone you can get. And then with Cousins, we'll see.
But is J.J.
Redick. You have Curry, Redick.
Hey, Ram. Let me jump in. Do you know for a fact that J.J. is unrestricted?
Yeah, I looked it up. He's unrestricted.
Okay, all right.
But again, if he's offered a multi-year, then he's going to take that, right? Why would you take a 1 year?
Of course.
But, you know, like I said, and also the other thing people, again, not you guys, but been, you know, listening to the radio stuff, and a lot of people are saying, well, if you don't sign, you know, your players and you're at the cap. Well, if you're at the cap or $50 million over the cap, you have no cap space to go after. But if you sign someone and go over the cap and he's injured, well, you get two players. You get him and the disabled player exception. A lot of people don't know that either. So there's a lot of misinformation out there that's a little bit irritating.
Yeah.
So like you said, though, why would Durant leave $80 million on the table, you know, to go somewhere else?
You know,
go to an inferior team.
I mean,
that doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make sense to you?
No, but then again, making $5 million a year doesn't make sense to me. I mean, we're talking about
$8 million on the table. I mean, I don't. Who would ever do that? Oh, $60 million. I think it's $60 million. 4 year versus 5 year, right? A 4 year versus a 5 year contract. That's a differential. But yeah, now that he's injured, obviously, I think it's a slam dunk he will stay with. Anyway, but like you said, we signed two. We have three mid level exceptions now because of the disabled player exceptions with Durant and with Thompson, and now we have three mid-levels, basically, to go after three separate players. Anyway, your thoughts on that.
Thank you for the phone call, Ram. I appreciate it. I need to get some clarity on the disabled player exemptions. I don't know that it's as easy as Ram is pointing it out to be, because what if they are ready to come back? Let's say Clay, who you would think is a fast healer, and we know what a gamer he is in terms of if he's got to put work in, he's going to put work in. What if you're expecting him back, or it's possible for him to come back in late January? If that's a possibility, why would the league give you a disabled player exemption? I just don't know enough about it. I will address the concept of leaving all that money on the table, and here's why I'm uncomfortable. I mean, of course, we look at it. Ram, you and I, and we say, well, hell no, I'm not leaving $40, $50, $60 million on the table. Of course not. But then again, we don't know what it feels like to make way more than that $40 or $50 million, which is what the people making these decisions are going to have gone through. Look, if you're leaving $50 million on the table, you're still going to get $175 million. And it's easy for us to say, well, How could you walk away from all that money? You got to take all the money you can get. And some people will say, well, how much money do you need? You already make $175 million. Who cares about that other 50? Well, it's just a world with which all of us, most of us, are so unfamiliar. I'm never going to begrudge a guy for getting paid. But I also would love to see an athlete clearly leave a ton of money on the table for something else, for either my kids like these schools, my wife has made some great friends here, my parents are only a half an hour away, I love the weather. Anything that doesn't relate to money, just because the world we live in, I would love to hear an athlete say that. Hey, I'm doing this because I just like it. And to know that it's not BS. Remember when Mike Hampton, way back in the day when he was, I think he signed with the Braves or was it with the Rockies? Might have been with the, make more sense that it's with the Rockies, because why would a great pitcher sign and go pitch in Colorado? Well, Hampton, instead of just admitting he went for the biggest contract and the most money, he said, well, Really good schools in Denver. Come on. Nobody bought that for a second. Nobody did. You know what everybody did? What everybody's doing? They're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Let's go out to Joe in Cupertino. By the way, if you want to get behind Joe, Matt's actually behind Joe. Get behind Matt. If you're on hold, stay there. If you're not, get there. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line, which I will get to very shortly. 95795. John Cupertino, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up?
Hey, Michael. Just a comment. I heard on the last hour, I think you were proposing, or Cole proposing trading Draymond Green.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.